Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And today it's time to go back into the lab. And right. if we could, we'd find a cure for our our pandemic problem in the lab. But we're going to save that to Dr. Fauci and all of his people. So instead, we're going to go in and dissect a George Harrison song that... It comes off of Cloud Nine, and for the second single off of Cloud Nine, When We Was Fab. And this, when you first brought up this song, I thought, oh, you know, it's one of those songs we know really well. We think we know well because we've heard it a lot. But once I started listening to it and watched the video, I realized that there's a lot more going on in this song, and I would venture to say it's one of George's best and most intricate songs that is just like so much to say about it. So I'm really excited to talk about it, as well as the video, as well as our friend of the show, super friend of the show, is very involved in this particular song.
That's right, Jeff Lynn. Of course, he can't talk George 80s Cloud Nine without... talking Jeff Lynne.
Yeah.
You know, we brought up Jeff Lynne so much, and we have never talked Cloud Nine, I don't think, ever.
No, you're right. No.
In this entire... Maybe when we did a episode that was just sort of like a career overlook way, way back when, we might have brought it up, but
so that's funny.
I'm excited as well. For obvious reasons, just to get this out of the way... There's nothing as far as cover versions of this thing.
No, as I wrote you, it would be kind of weird for someone to cover this. Only Paul and Ringo could sing it nowadays. Yeah. I think.
Of course, these Beatle cover bands do it.
I
never count those.
No, like a real like an artist on their own, in their own right, wouldn't cover this because it's too personal and too much related to experiences that George felt, I think, and the way he experienced being a Beatle, which is found in the music, found in the lyrics, found in the video. So it's really a total package here. It's not just like, you know, we like Got My Mind Set on You because of the videos are kind of fun, but it's just a pop tune cover. But this is, I think there's a lot of effort put into this song, and I think it'll be fun to dig in a little extra hard on the music and lyrics and video.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. So let's talk first, I guess, on the personnel on this one, Dave, we got some guest stars that are pretty. Of course, Jeff Lynne, you brought up. Bass guitar, keyboards, and backing vocals.
Yes, you can hear his playing. I think he's the one doing a lot of the fab, those background vocals. I really hear it's very ELO kind of sounding to me.
Oh yeah, well, we get the classic ELO ooh.
Yeah, the glisses
times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's sort of like you know, like you read the thing, you read the description of the song if you'd never heard it before, and you'd be expecting all this Beatles reference sounding stuff, and really it sounds pretty much like an ELO track.
Yes, it really does. It's like it's so orchestrated and so thick and dense in the layers. It is like an ELO song with George singing it and Beatle influences. Well, I mean, of course, Beatles were a big influence on ELO.
Yeah. And then who else is on this, Dave?
So we've got Gary Wright, friend of George Harrison, on the piano, who you hear constantly playing that riff all throughout the song. So he's on there. And then
Gary Wright, of course, from Dreamweaver.
Yes.
Yep. Loves Dreamweaver.
And then of course we have who on drums?
Well, you got Ringo.
Yes.
Ringo on drums and featured in the video. We'll talk about the video, too.
Yep.
And, of course, George plays a lot of stuff, lead vocals, acoustic, electric guitar, keyboard, sitar, backing vocals. Who is Bobby Cock, Dave?
I don't know, except I remember when I bought Cloud Nine, I remember seeing his name on the album, and it said Bobby Cock, KOK, cello, and I wondered who he was. So,
Well,
do you know who Bobby Cock is?
I can tell you he's a cello player who played cello on some of the Beatles' biggest hits,
Really?
including Hey Jude and Yesterday.
Wow, so he was the cellist in
What it says
Yesterday.
here, according to the Beatles recording sessions, Mark Lewisohn, Hey
Wow.
Jude and Yesterday. So we'd have to triple check that, but there's not a,
Yeah.
guess what? There's not a whole lot of Bobby Cock, Alexander Bobby Cock information out there.
No. But that cello is very important in this song. I mean, you hear it. It's a prominent instrument in this song. So I can see why he gets the credit he deserves on it.
Yeah. So the chart performance, I just wanted to bring this up quickly. Wasn't like a huge hit. It's like
No.
an it was a top 40 hit, but only made 23 over here and 25 in England.
And the
And
sad thing is that it was George's last hit, kind of like even close to a hit. And that makes sense because George didn't really record much else after Cloud Nine. There weren't it wasn't a lot of material after that. So
by the time Brainwash comes out, he was
yeah, he was gone. So yeah, but I think for me, it the video. Or at least here, it says the video received six nominations at the 1988 MTV Music Video Awards. So, really was a full production. And we've talked about Cloud Nine before, how George put a lot of effort into the publicity and the marketing. And he looks different. And in fact, the cover of the single, I think, is kind of cool. It has young George, it says Revolver George on the top, and then below, and then it says When We Was Fab, and then below it has. Kind of in 1987, George looking up at Revolver George. So
Yeah,
cool
which
cover.
fits very well with the theme of the tune, sort of
Yeah.
looking back at the I guess we don't have to tell anyone that that Fab means Fab Four. I
Right.
mean, good God.
Right. Yeah,
Like,
definitely.
obviously that has something to do with it. We're gonna do a deep dive on the lyrics here in a bit, but I think there's so much interesting in the music of this and in
Yeah.
the video,
Well, I'll start you with a question to talk about the music. I feel, listening to it again, and I've always felt, there's sort of an ominous feel to the song. Like, it almost overwhelms you because it's very serious and intense, and especially the way it starts with the minor key, very dark kind of sound, with the one, two, da-da-da-da-da-da-dum. And it's kind of there's it's not a very there's not a lot of lightness to the song except on the chorus when he says long time ago when we was fab, and it's kind of like looking back musically, it's like the one sweet point, but the rest of it's kind of stormy. Do you hear it that way?
I kind of hear it that way too, and I don't even think it's all that light anywhere in the
No.
it's sort of a spooky kind of
Yes, that's the
vibe,
word.
sort of
Yeah.
like dusting off these, and really the lyrics too kind of fit into that as well. When we get into that, we'll look at some of them, and it's like what exactly is he trying to say about
Yeah.
His time with the Beatles in this song. It's kind of confusing. It's hard to parse exactly what is going on if it's just a comment on memory and old. I feel like George historically, and particularly if you've seen the two-part very good documentary,
Oh, living in the material
Living in
world.
the Material World,
Yeah.
which I think you can get on HBO Max probably, is someone who doesn't like necessarily to sit around thinking about the past a whole bunch and likes to live in the now. So I wonder if just his philosophy, his spiritual philosophy, is that old memories aren't a great thing to just be like sitting around like worrying about and be taking a lot of that baggage along with you.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe any kind of memories, talking about memories like that has a bit of an ominous feeling for him.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's really true, and that's borne out in the music, because it's based on, like, I would say it's based on definitely psychedelic 67. Some people have said it's kind of based on I Am the Walrus, or that it's that style, that period. And there's a lot of things happening. It's got Mellotron. It's got all the effects, the sounds, all the psychedelic kinds of effects. And that was kind of a experimental time too. And I think you're hearing a lot of Beatle musical references in here. And I find it interesting that that's the period that George chose to emulate, to model. He's not like, what kind of songs does Paul have that are nostalgic about the Beatles? You have That Was Me, kind of early Beatles. That's a rocker.
Early days.
That's kind of an acoustic tune. But nothing like this in the psychedelic way where the lyrics actually are about the time. So maybe for George, he felt that the psychedelic Beatles was really where it was like their most defining period, because that was the music that he chose to use. And then Jeff Lynne clearly responded too, since he likes that period a lot as well.
Yeah, and if you think about George, the sort of Revolver and through White Album is sort of his peak kind of.
Yeah.
Well, some would say that very last few albums.
Yeah.
His peak, you know, he just kept getting better. That's probably what he was trying to tap into, obviously, because, you know, it sounds very you deciding to use the sitar.
Yeah, should I mention the sitar? Yeah.
So.
And lots of swoops and psychedelic things, especially the ending is really very kind of sounds like the end of Within You, Without You, or one of the Indian type songs, bringing that back as another model. So it's really a huge mix of psychedelia and the Indian, like kind of George in a nutshell. In a lot of ways, it's grim in some places, or it's ambiguous, it's psychedelic, it's layered, it's really musical. Lots of terms of harmony, there's lots of diminished chords, which are what Tom Petty called naughty chords,
that he called.
So it's a very intricate harmonically to play.
That cello sort of like
ominous,
sort of like very ominous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then if we fold in the lyrics here,
yeah,
so I thought we'd read a good portion of the lyrics here and try to like stop and go and kind of try to figure out what he's trying to say. Back then, long time ago, when grass was green, woke up in a daze, arrived like strangers in the night. What do you take out of that, Dave?
So, grass was green probably when you're younger, or you're new and you're young and the whole world is ahead of you. And then he woke up in a daze in the midst of the craziness, and here he is in the middle of pandemonium and Beatlemania, and the Beatles, here they are, came in like strangers in the night, which isn't that's a Frank Sinatra song too, I think. Strangers in the night, exchanging glances.
Maybe saying we were as popular, all of a sudden we were as popular as Sinatra.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
And they were exotic because they were British and they all looked the same and came over together. So.
And then, of course, Fab, diddly, diddly, diddly. Long time ago, we was Fab, back when income tax was all we had.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Taxman being one of his big songs, and just the fact that they were always paying taxes.
Yeah.
This next lyric is like really, like what you're talking about, ominous. It's like, caressors fleeced you in the morning light, casualties at dawn, and we did it all.
Ooh.
So, caressors fleeced you.
So caresses. So,
I don't know if that means
business
romantically or business.
Yeah. Could be Could be both, since they were, the Beatles were taken by Alan Klein, or and then his problems with love as well. And then what do you Casualties at Dawn. That's a tough line. What's that all about, do you think?
I don't know. It's a hard. I think like just maybe saying like, it cost us our maybe he's talking a little bit about that, the issues with the romantic issues and the business issues cost him his friendships a little bit. I don't know.
Or even something literal like John dying, or all the people who died along the way, Brian, all the people, and the dawn being like they made it through the night and then it couldn't go on any further, or something. I don't know.
And then he
It's,
says, a
but
long
we
time
did it
ago when he
all.
was fat, in my world, you are my only love. So that's strange.
So are the Beatles his only love then, in a way? Or
Don't
the Beatles are my world. That's true. He could never escape being a Beatle. That's always with him.
Possibly, yeah. And then these are harder to. And while you're in this world, the fuzz gonna come and claim you. The police are gonna arrest you, I guess.
Well, he was arrested
But
for drugs. Maybe. I don't know.
could be. But you mo better wise. When the buzz gonna come and take you away, take you away. I don't know. It's hard to gather what he's saying. Could be that the fuzz gonna come and the buzz gonna take you away, talking about drug use. Could be that's my only talking about drug use, and it's like take you, because it goes take you
You
away.
away. Yeah, like into
Like
the
what's
a trip, or something. Or you could even say the fuzz gonna come and the fuzz getting picking up the Beatles when they were fab, and then they pick them up, and then when the buzz gonna come and take you away, and then it sort of ends, or
Yeah.
gets you into your show, or who, I don't know. It's interesting.
And then this is really to, speaking of
Here we are.
serendipity, Dave. The microscopes that magnified the deer.
It's like we planned this or something.
Studied warts at all. We're studying this song, Warts at All.
Yes.
Still the life flowed on and on. Now, I was thinking when I heard this a couple times, I just thought immediately of like Let It Be movie. And it might not be as specific as that, but like just talking about how like every last little aspect of their life was sort of like constantly being like looked at and shown, but he's just still trying to live his life while the microscope's magnifying his tears.
I like that. That
So
makes a lot of sense.
yeah, and that really fits in with that thing you were talking about the ominous sort of like thing.
Oh, and then we've got this is my favorite line coming up here.
Yep, but it's all over now. Well, fab. Oh, and then they start tossing in the gear, fab gear, which I thought was like, okay, well, this is a little lighthearted that they throw in the gear, which is hilarious.
Do you think
You know,
that's
I
a
once
is
had
that
an
a Jeff
argument.
Lynne thing?
Oh yeah, I probably, but it's gear fab. I mean, it's a fun thing to do, I think. But he says, "But it's all over now, baby blue." Now, it could be a reference to one of two different songs. Could be "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue,"
That's what
right?
I
The
that's
Bob Dylan
literal.
song. Okay. Or it could be "Baby Blue" from Badfinger. With that if you haven't heard that one, it's like thought I had so much to say, but it plays at the very last episode of
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, famously, and we talked about it at length in our Badfinger episode. So it's hard to say which song there he's talking about. I would imagine it's probably the Bob Dylan song.
Yeah, but I like the fact. I mean, it was. I think Baby Blue was produced by Todd Rundgren, but it was on the same album as some of George's productions as well. So he was very much involved in that too. So you can read it two ways.
And of course, he was pals by this time with Bob Dylan, just about to do
Oh,
a
yeah.
couple of records with him. So,
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
and Jeff Lynne,
Yeah.
of course. Yeah, interesting line there. It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Just a side track note here. What do you think of that song?
Oh, it's one of Dylan's best, like early acoustic tunes. It's I think of it in that movie, Don't Look Back, when he's singing it for Donovan and just kind of snarling it. It's really biting. Like it's a good breakup song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, both of those two songs we talked about are sort of like the end, like reflecting on the end of something
Yeah.
and moving forward, as is this song. So it's sort of like a great reference
Yeah.
point to make, because it's sort of like exactly, we're looking back. Dylan in that song's looking back at a failed sort of, not
Yeah.
necessarily even failed relationship, just looking at back at a relationship. My Baby Blue, the Badfinger one's a little more dark, I
Yeah.
think.
Oh yeah. Especially
Because
in
I
the
mean, of course, all of the Badfinger songs have a hint of darkness to
Edge.
them,
Yeah.
since two Badfingers committed suicide,
Yeah. Jeez.
so
Yeah.
dark sort of darkens their whole catalog. So now, what is Fab? Long time ago, when we was Fab. Like this pullover you sent me. What
That
the
I
hell
that
is
was
that?
the that that's the one line I really don't know. Like this pullover you sent to me is fab. So somebody, I don't know. Did he get
And
he? He's not wearing a pullover on Cloud Nine. He's not.
yeah, I
Yeah.
don't know. Maybe it's just a very, very, very inside reference of like, Paul sent him some hoodie or something,
Yeah.
or John or somebody, I don't know. And
Well,
then
in Rolling Stone, he says this is maybe the answer for the whole song. It's got complete joke words.
okay.
That's what he told Rolling Stone. I had
Like
this
Mo
guitar,
Better
like Mo
Wise.
Better Wise. Yeah, it's got complete joke words, but I don't think so. I don't think
Okay.
George wrote joke words too much in this case for this sort of a song.
And then the last line, Fab doo doo gear, and you really got a hold on me, of course, is one of the first Beatles tracks that
Yeah, the cover
directly.
song. He loved Smokey Robinson and was
Yeah.
a huge fan. And
Who doesn't?
yeah,
Oh
who
boy.
doesn't exactly? The voice, yeah.
Yeah, we could talk for hours just about Smokey.
Yes, amazing. But you've really got a hold on me. That also, I think, to go along with your "It's All Over Now, Baby Blue," this has a double meaning too, because it's not only the song, but being fab, being a Beatle, has really got a hold on George,
Yeah.
certainly.
Yeah.
So.
So
Wow.
it's complicated, and then boy did I dig into some message boards, which are frightening place. One, this guy's just trying to figure out Mo Better Wise. Is it
Yeah.
a reference to Mo Austin? So
That's really stretching.
I invite you to, at your peril, dig into that. Now, we'd be insane not to talk about Godley and Cream, okay? Kevin Godley and Lowell Cream, who did this great song called Cry. You Make Me Want to Cry in the 80s. It was a big hit. And it has just an amazing video. So I think, what I'm guessing happened is George saw that video and was like, man, that video is awesome. Let's get these guys do our video. So they directed this video, and it is a fantastic video.
Yeah, as we mentioned, it's award-winning, or at least nominated for awards, and it's kind of clever the way they put it together. So to set it up, if you haven't seen it, it's basically George standing there playing his guitar on a street, sort of looks like a street, and he's standing against a wall, and then all these people and things come by him and interact with him and his guitar and his body, and Yeah, it's really
Another arm will
another
come out,
yes.
and then
Yeah.
he'll have a third arm and a fourth arm, and he ends up with eight arms.
Oh, wonder
Of course,
why.
eight arms to hold you being what was an alternate title for help,
Yep,
right?
exactly.
So that was maybe a reference to that, but it's also a common thing in some religions, this
Oh.
multiple armed figure. And at the end, you get this sort of like Indian music with all eight arms kind of coming out and doing sort of like a sort of spiritual kind of pose. So
Which
that's
makes sense for George.
makes
Yeah.
sense. Of course, we get Ringo.
There's
We
a
get
lot of Ringo. A lot of
a lot of
Ringo.
Ringo at the beginning. He's sort of like assisting, and then he pulls out a cello, and two of the arms play a cello, and then okay, we're done with that.
Then he's drumming too in there.
He's drumming. Then we get a little Jeff Lynne. We
Yep.
get Neil Aspinall. We get Elton John
And
dropping a quarter in a thing and getting his wallet stolen at the same time.
what did you think of the Neil? What did you think of the Neil Aspinall, where he's walking in carrying John Lennon's Imagine album, which it's so fast I had to watch it a couple times to see it.
I liked that because I think he wanted references to all the Beatles in there. And of course, what happens is things move around and people walk by, and a big long keyboard walks by, and one of the hands comes out and plays that da 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 da.
Yeah.
But then it goes to a point where Ringo's there to his left playing drums, and someone else is to his right in a walrus costume
Yes,
playing the
yes.
bass left-handed. Now, is this Paul McCartney in the costume, Dave?
It sure looks like it. They made it to look like it was Paul, but Paul denied being in it, and he said that he was busy that day, and just couldn't do it. But George. He said wasn't available, so I suggested that he put someone else in the walrus suit and tell everyone it was me. So, but that makes sense because that's the first thing you think of when if you've not seen it before or didn't know that, you would think, oh, that looks like Paul because it's got the bass left-handed and it is kind of a shout out to all four Beatles together there.
Yeah, it was a very striking moment there where they're all three are playing together. It's sort of like, this predates the three tolls.
Yeah.
So were that to be Paul, this would be like an amazing moment.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
I don't think Paul would have done it anyway because he didn't play bass on the thing.
No, he wouldn't
And
just show up.
he wouldn't
No.
show up and fake someone else's bass. It just seems weird. So,
Yeah. We've forgotten Paul Simon.
oh, Paul Simon, yep, pushing a cart.
Yes, pushing a cart through there,
How do you
exactly.
get Elton John to like show up for like one day and just kind of like walk in frame? And Paul Simon, I
Yeah,
don't know how he
I don't
got these
know.
guys to do this, but.
I don't know. But it's a pretty great video, and it captures the trippiness or the kind of psychedelic nature of the song too, with all these people coming in and out and the arms and kind of fading in and then fading out and the cleverness of the song. It all fits. It all fits really well. Thinking about this was the, as we said, last Harrison Top 40 hit in the US, and the second such hit, this is a good point, second such hit in which the lyrics reflect on his years as a Beatle, the other being all those years ago. So, how does this compare to all those years ago?
Favorably, I think. There's a little bit in all those years ago now that sounds a little dated, like
Yeah.
the wee, 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 the keyboards and the some of that keyboard sound is a little. But I'll say this, I heard a countdown the other day, and it was 1981, this week in 1981, because I've been really diving deep in these countdowns.
80s on eight.
All these years ago peaked at number two and
Oh.
stuck at number two for several weeks. And it's just like it can't. It was such so refreshing after Summer yeah. Crap. So really bad songs that were right around it. So it sounds a little dated here and there, but it's still a good song. And I don't know, is it a better song?
It's a lot more intricate. There's a lot more stuff going on here. The other one had the cachet of having Paul and Linda on it, and kind of the Beatle reunion without John, whereas this is much more of a George Jeff Lynne production. And yeah, it's just different, I'd say. So
by the way, I wanted to look something up real quick, Dave, and I did. Mm-hmm. In Hinduism, deities are often depicted with multiple arms. These many arms become visible when they are battling with cosmic forces.
Ooh.
So, just a little food for thought there about the last images of the video.
Mm-hmm.
The multiple arms there, so.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. George thought about spirituality so much that everything was probably there for a reason. And that, yeah, it was in there. So, interesting. Well, I think it's really refreshing to hear the song and to study it this much, because it's one of George's last real original contributions before he died. And it kind of is a cap in a way on the Beatles period and the Beatles existence in music and video. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. You know, I mean, shortly thereafter, we'd get a little bit of Three Dolls, which we talked about mm-hmm. last time.
And Traveling Wilburys, too.
And Traveling Wilburys, of course. But, it's an important song. Maybe one day we'll do a rankings of the Beatle-referenced solo songs.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that would be good, because this is definitely up on the top, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both of those George ones we talked about are good.
Mm-hmm.
Good songs.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to listen to. And the video of this one, at least, is fantastic. So I wanted to mention something. A Chance of India, the Ravi Shankar album. The George Harrison YouTube channel has uploaded a bunch of Chance of India individual videos with the translated chants, what they are actually saying. So if you've ever tried to like listen to the Ravi Shankar album, you probably are like, I don't know what they're saying, but it sounds cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this like really, I was really in the zone the other night watching a few of these.
Mm.
And it kind of ties in, because there's you know some sitar and some Indian music in this song,
and so mysticism.
And it just was like strange how like, oh, we're gonna pick this song randomly, and then
wow.
Oh wait, there's all these Chance of India videos now. So I say they're beautiful looking videos.
Yes.
So I suggest if you're at all into that kind of thing, to check that out as a sort of a bonus material to this.
Well, that's great to know, because I think those are some of the re-releases, or the when Danny and Olivia mentioned in that Rolling Stone interview how they were bringing out some of the old Dark Horse performances and CDs and things and recordings. Now they've made these videos to go with that album, so because that was one of the ones in the collection. So. Yeah, very cool. Well, I think we would have to say, I'm just now on this idea of thinking about Beatles looking back at their careers and song, and we mentioned Paul's, a couple of Paul's. I think George's two are so much more interesting than the way Ringo's done it. I mean, Ringo's just done it the way that Ringo would do it, but...
Yeah.
I mean... It's a little too...
We were very young, like stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I was in Liverpool and you were too. Yeah, I just made up a new Ringo song.
Yeah, I think...
With Mark Hudson. Sounds great, Ringo, sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, and so like that's so different.
Who else is at the booth there, Mark? Oh, it's me. I thought we could throw a couple orchestras on here.
Yeah.
How about we get the original cello player? We'll put him on this track from George's.
Can we thicken the vocals a little bit? We need a little bit more background vocal.
Yeah. I think. Do it. No. Do it like this. Yeah. Definitely. I definitely wanted to mention. Occasionally I've sort of poo-pooed Jeff Lynne's engineering and his production, and maybe when we do a full Cloud Nine, we'll get into a little of my criticisms of him. Like the plastic drums. But this particular one and the drums in this one work really well, and I think is like very excellent. He just did a tremendous job balancing a bunch of different things. Is it a little too ELO? Some people might be like, yeah, if they don't like ELO. Yeah. But I love ELO. So I sort of was like, you know, the oohs and stuff like that that I'm joking about. Love it on this track.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is some classic Jeff Lynne. He helped bring George back to fame. And this was one of the songs that, at least, I mean, to get a top 40 hit, still nothing to... Top 25 hit, nothing to sneeze at, even at this point. So we're glad to have had a chance to look at it. And like you said, I think we're due for a full Cloud Nine look someday. And, you know, if there'd be a few more bonus tracks, that would be nice. But
In them vaults.
Yeah, I know.
You know, in a pandemic, a great place to be is in a vault.
That's right. It's really safe. Yeah.
So safe. So hopefully Giles Martin and Olivia are socially distanced in that vault.
Yes.
Going through audio, and Danny's in there, and he's,
helping
picking
out.
So, I've never heard this. Well,
Yeah, because it would be great to hear more of this stuff. So,
No, we didn't get into Zigzag.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to mention the B-side of When We Was Fab is Zigzag, which is an instrumental. And it's, kind of, I don't know what to say about Zigzag.
We'll save it. A different episode. I'm sure we'll get into some odd tracks like Zigzag.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if Zigzag will merit its own song under the microscope. But,
no, probably not. But. Well, anyway, yeah, it's been fun. It's been good to get into this. And
Dave and I are off to stand in line at Best Buy for the midnight release of the...
Like we did 20 years ago, whatever, 25 years ago. Yeah.
For the Paul McCartney big set. Dave plopped down the $600 to get
It's coming tomorrow.
The
FedEx.
Full Flaming Pie. But what our very next episode will be definitely be a deep, deep dive into Flaming Pie. It's going to be a wonderful time for us. Hopefully a wonderful time for you guys as well.
Exactly. We're very excited. And we'll be posting this on Facebook. And we'll be excited to get your feedback and any memories you have of When We Was Fab and then our next episode. So.
Oh, and by all means, if you like know what any of these lyrics let us know. If you're like even if you got a wild theory, I want to hear it.
Yes, I want to know what that pullover is about. What's that pullover you sent to me?
Oh, dum-dums, the pullover is blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Just tell us. Yeah. we'll take any thoughts. So. Cool.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll see you all next time for some Flaming Pie discussion.